Blog Talk Radio.
Thomas Milton, and good evening. Welcome to the Verna's Health Foundation Metroplex Buzz. And it's Thursday, everybody. It's September the 7th, 2023, 2 days before my birthday. And I'm so happy to be here today. Today we have in the room with us Mrs. Bridget Moon. And Bridget, I want to thank you for coming on this evening. Bridget is the DFW area Economic Development Specialist and our Veterans Business Officer. Hello, Bridget. How are you?
Fine, Vera. Thank you so much for having me, and definitely an early birthday wish to you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I appreciate being on here. We've got some great information probably for your listeners to grab a hold of and hopefully some good questions at the end.
Okay. So I want to tell everybody, Bridget is a little genius walking around here, and she's going to bring you some good information. So if you don't have a pencil and paper handy, please go get a pencil and paper. Some pencil, or a pen and paper, I'm sorry. Because it's September. And September, the government buys. The government buys, 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 buys. And I wish I had me some employees, Bridget. I wish I had me a crew to help me. It is so, so hard when you are so, you know, when you don't have nobody to really work, to know what
right.
You know how to do your work. Yeah. But anyway, I just want everybody to know I'm 74. Bridget, I'll be 74. Isn't God
that's
good?
That's awesome. That's good. You look great. I would
have
never thought, for sure.
Well, anyway, I don't act 74, but nevertheless, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I made it to 74. Sweetheart, but listen, we got so much to talk about this evening, and I'll tell everybody the success of a good city and a community. It just relies on people being able to work, entrepreneurship, skilled workers, professionals that learn through the leadership and support of what we give. So
yes.
I'm going to give it to you, and let's let you tell us about what
okay.
you do, Bridget, and who you are, and how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, as you mentioned, I'm with the Small Business Administration, which is a federal agency. And as you mentioned, I'm out of the Dallas-Fort Worth District office. Now, we're not just the one office. We do have 68 total offices across the United States. So when you log into our website, sba.gov, you can access your district office that's the closest to you that would handle in your area. And one way about doing that is on our website, we have at the top of the menu that says local assistance. And when you click on that, it actually comes, it pops up another one that says find resources in your area. And when you put your zip code in after that, it brings up all the resource partners. But the first resource partner that comes up to you is your district office that you would be able to touch base with, address questions, maybe find out other resources, maybe get in touch with another veteran business development officer such as myself or an economic development, and that's how you would make contact with your local SBA office if you're not in the Dallas-Fort Worth District office. And what we do at the SBA is we go out and service our community in many ways. A lot of people think of SBA as this as a loan factor for small businesses. And, of course, that's our main, as to help grow, start, recover, you know, with small businesses. So in addition to that, there's a lot more that goes into just getting a loan to start a business. And so we've encountered with a couple other organizations for many years that service in the capacity of free, I just want to mention that, is free counseling. And so we'll talk a little bit about those resource partners that offer that free counseling that you're going to need to get the funding, what we call getting you lender ready. And so we go out to the community, and the outreach to the cities, the local, you know, it could be libraries, it could be, you know, the city government itself, the chambers, the economic development corporations that are out there, and making sure they have the tools they need to outreach to their community. So whatever that is that we can help them out, you by doing workshops or, you know, outreaching in different things, webinars, in-person workshops, you know, so that's what we look for forward, you know, to help in our area. Each district office is to make sure that the surrounding areas or their district areas are getting the assistance they need from their district office in order for their communities to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of give you a little bit of that, but I can go into talking about our resource partners if you'd like. Or,
well, Bridget, I also want to talk about the federal contracting and the opportunities that's out here for veterans. In other words,
yes.
If a lot of my classmates, for instance, did not know that because their husband died in the Vietnam War, some husband's been dead for a long time, that they, as a spouse, could not open up a veterans-owned business.
Right,
okay?
Right,
so
yes.
Can you talk about a little of that? And also, like, for instance, when veterans was allowed money to start up a new business. I want you to talk about that. And then, Bridget, I want you to talk about franchising. Franchising.
Okay.
When I say franchising, Bridget, man, Bridget, are you taking these? No.
I am. I'm making notes because you got me a laundry list already.
Well, what I'm saying, Bridget, is that franchising, a lot of people don't know. And I try to tell people a lot, but I don't know too much. That's why I depend upon you all to come in and do my seminars for me. But like franchising, the UPS store, if a person wants to buy a franchise with UPS and open up a UPS store or a mailroom store, but with that UPS franchising there, isn't that part of the federal government to do that? Can they do that?
Yeah, so what's great about with SBA is that our loan programs do allow for those that might interest in opening a franchise business. And there's some great benefits of it. There's, you know, it's a proven record. There's name recognition. Sometimes there's national advertising that's included in that franchise. And a lot of people want to be their own boss, but maybe they don't know, you know, all the ins and outs. And a franchise gives that training and that follow-up, and a lot of people love to open franchises. And so that is an eligible entity. They just, you know, they'll have to get us the information or the bank that they go through to obtain that financing. But a lot of times that franchise already knows what banks are going to need in order to get the funding. Like there was an incident, I was at another live event, in-person event, and I was on the panel, and a guy had spoken up and was talking about, you know, getting funding. And one of the bankers that was on the panel says, well, what do you think about opening up? And he gave a franchise name. And I've never seen so many business cards whip out, say, talk to us about funding your franchise. Because it's a proven record, you know, a lot of times banks are like, okay, well, this, they know that this is going to be, you know, it has a record of being successful. So there's always that opportunity for those that, and there's a big book of franchises. And there is organizations that sometimes, because that can be overwhelming to flip through, there is organizations that are out there to help you navigate and narrow that down based upon your personality, based upon your interests, you know, because all said and done, even a franchise, you still have to have that interest, you know, to be able to get up and still work possibly long hours and days. So it's got to be something that, you know, you want to start or be involved in.
Well, I know I wanted to talk about that because a lot of people have asked me about it, and I really didn't know how to tell them that.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is when they're talking with that franchise is talk about sometimes they already have a business plan put together, and it's just to fill in based on the market analysis, because obviously a franchise opens up in different markets, so that section usually has to, you know, be kind of completed, but and some, you know, a little bit of tailoring as well through the plan, but a lot of the hard work is usually done in some cases.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
In the federal contracting that normally goes on right now in the latter part of the quarter.
Yes. Well, of course, the federal government's got the end of our fiscal year coming up at the end of September. So October 1st starts our new fiscal year going into it for 2024. And so federal contracting is just, it's another way for a business to grow their business is the way I look at it. A lot of times it's, I'm not saying it's impossible because I think you're a proven record of going, jumping right into federal contracting. But a lot of times people want to start off local or, you know, city or statewide contracting before they jump in the federal realm. And part of that is that part of that process that they have to do in the federal contracting is there's a capability statement. And on that capability statement, you have to demonstrate that you can service the contract. And part of that is the experience or having production or service being able to service that the bid that you're putting in for that contract. But I know you have a great story about kind of jumping in without having, you know, going in from the local side.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
I used to, let me rephrase this. I still do, but what I'm saying, I used to, because before the pandemic, I had a GSA contract. And next Thursday, GSA will be on with us on September the 14th. But with that GSA contract, then I was able to get all the set-asides as well as everybody who wanted my product. Now, when that pandemic hit, it was a total ball game, Bridget. Not only did I shut down. I had to shut down. Everything shut down. And with so much COVID and sickness, I just haven't started my company back up yet because of my age. I just don't. I mean, when I first got that contract, that was 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, I was much younger. So
right.
I had the energy. I had the energy to fly out to New York when we had that meeting up there. And I mean, you had to fly. That's where the main office was in New York. And then, also Atlanta, Georgia. Today, I don't even like going to the airport. I don't even want to walk through the airport. So there's a totally different way than how I feel today. So I try to just share with other people, and I just let them know that the money's there. I made it. I've done it. So I know that it's there. So next week when GSA come on, I want people to come in too that's listening to come back and hear some more. But, Bridget, you all SBA, I didn't even know all of the things that you all did. When I first started up, I mean, because I didn't know all the work that you, all the counseling you do for free and forced lending. I didn't have a lender. And believe it or not, by the grace of God, I didn't need a lender because
right.
I had some fantastic investors, and all I did was just show those people's names, and people just said, well, ooh, she got those folks behind her, and they really hadn't gave me a dime. But it's just because of the fact that I had four millionaires here in the Dallas area who said, we believe in you, so we're going to put our name with your name. But if you need us, come to us. If you don't, leave us alone. You know, don't worry if you don't need us. So I didn't never need
right.
one because my factories always gave me, I mean, and I just know, but it wasn't nothing but the grace of God. They always gave me a line of credit. Today, after this pandemic, I still am able to use those same manufacturers. It's just that I have to open a small business
right.
bid. Now, I don't do settles. I mean, I don't do GSA. GSA is great. I wish I could go back and do GSA. But everything I do is open bids for small businesses. And there's
sure.
that's a different ball game.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah,
there's great opportunity.
Yes. Okay. And you have a score. You have so many offices that people can actually go in and get this free counseling. And this 8A counseling is off the chain. I mean, I mean, can you just talk a little bit about all of that and tell these spouses how to get started? A lot of these spouses don't know that they and their other spouses being deceased, that they can still become a veteran-owned business. And what is the advantage of being a veteran-owned business?
Right. So being a veteran-owned business, a set-aside, the federal contracting has about 23% set-asides, and they include, you know, for our 8A, our HUD, which is the historically underutilized business opportunities. And then we also have the veteran disadvantage, also
mm-hmm.
set aside, and that's about 3%. So, and 3%, a lot of people will think, oh, that's not very much, but actually it's a big amount based upon how much federal contracting is done. Remember, federal government is the biggest purchaser of goods and services. So when you talk about 3%, there's still a good chunk of, you know, able to get contracts under being a service disabled set aside. So there's a lot of things like, for the 8A, I know that you're going to have our supervisor 8A, so I'm not going to take too much of that because I want people to come back and really get Nancy's information about it, because that is a great program. And it's basically, it's a robust 9-year program. It's to help businesses owned and controlled by socially and economically disadvantaged individuals to get out and get those set-asides under federal contracting. And so they receive free training and technical assistance for 9 years. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, that's a lot of opportunity to grow your business within the amount of that time. So, there's some criteria, though. They have to have been in business for at least 2 years or more, of course, and they have to have the interest expanding their footprint in the federal government, you know, for in the bid process. And so it gives businesses the opportunity to get the assistance they need. It doesn't mean that they're guaranteed awards, but it gives them that training, gives them the opportunity, because there are those set-asides and those sole source contracts that they can be eligible for. So it's a great opportunity to jump in there. But Nancy will be the expert for all those little fine details in the 8A program. But it's definitely something that people need to think about if they've been in business a couple of years and they meet the program eligibility, and they can actually go on our website under federal contracting, and there's actually a bunch of details about it. It talks about the qualifications, how to apply to get the certification, and, you know, how do you maintain your eligibility. So So there's a lot of things in, as far as that set aside. As far as the service disabled, you mentioned about what the spouses, absolutely. Even spouses are eligible to participate the same benefits as a veteran. So when we have usually like our loan programs, like we give, you know, zero fees, you know, for, I think they just moved it up to $1 million. I think I just read versus last year was up to 500,000. I think coming into this next fiscal year, it goes up to $1 million now under our 7A loan programs where they have zero fees. And it's not just for veterans. It's also for the spouses of the veterans that want to start a business. So whatever is in for the veteran side, it's also for the spouses thereof. So it's a great, you know, opportunity for those that might be, even if the veteran, or let's just say military, let's say the spouse is active in the military, they can still get these programs outside, you know, because they might be working a business while their spouse is active in the military.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, so that's something to think about. 7A loan. What is a 7A loan?
Okay, yeah. So there is different loan products, or should I say funding programs through SBA. And 7A is our most versatile loan program out there. And the reason it goes up to $5 million, a little over $5 million, I believe. And it's basically for those that might want to acquire, refinance, approve, you know, real estate buildings, you know, your working capital. It could be for a purchase or installation of machine equipment, furniture, fixtures, supplies. It's basically the where anything you can think of when you're starting a business and you need funds for it, it's because it's just the most versatile. And so when they're putting, you know, through applying for a loan, a lot of times they're going to look at the 7A as being probably the first type of loan if they're going to do an SBA loan through their lender. The other thing is that if they're curious to see what other lenders out there, they can go to our lender match, which is if you just go to sba.gov and /lender match, it'll populate. And this is an opportunity for those to go beyond just local funding, because this is like over 800 vetted lenders, and the list keeps growing because as we get more banks involved in it. And basically what it is they're going to put information in as requested about what they're needing the funds for, about their business, and usually they're going to get a turnaround within 48 hours of if financial institutions out there, if they're interested. Now, that's not all-inclusive saying all local lenders are on this list. So don't be discouraged that, oh, there's no banks out there for me. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it gives you an additional opportunity beyond your local area as well, because what it does is there might be financial institutions in California that might say, you know what, I'm interested in investing in Texas. And Texas being such a state that's growing, especially in business, a lot of banks out there that aren't in Texas want to invest in Texas. So we've got a lot of lenders that are in this that aren't necessarily in Texas, but it gives you a means of being able to compare some of those programs. And also, it might not be necessarily an SBA loan. It could be, you know, they might say, well, you know, we've got this other type of program they might be interested in. But there's different kinds of loans that SBA offers, and 7A is just one of them. Like we've got our 504 loan program, which a lot of times our bigger loans are out there, bigger companies, and usually because that's to purchase real estate, machine equipment, you know, and it can still go up to that $5 million, but it also involves a certified development company and a local bank, so they work together to achieve the loan. And a lot of times those certified development companies are called CDCs, have very low interest rates. I mean, right now they're lower than the ones, and most of them that I've talked to lately are lower than the ones at the bank. So it just gives you another opportunity to look at if you need a bigger loan than just the $5 million, because it can go in and look at your project as well. So, again, it's on our website about if you're eligible and how it works. And then another great loan program is our microloans. And I do have to mention our microloans, microlenders is what we call, is because they serve a purpose. And they mostly do $50,000 or less. And a lot of banks out there aren't doing $50,000 or less. And sometimes they're not even doing $100,000 or less. But we're encouraging them. We've been out there trying to really push this for those lenders to get out there and make those smaller loans. But our microlenders specialize in it. And what's nice about it, too, with our microlenders is that sometimes they have great loan programs for the minorities, women-owned, also for veteran-owned. So they might have lower interest rates or, you know, lower fees or zero fees. But it's an opportunity for also to look at their programs online. And you can, when you go in on our website, again, go to microloans, and they'll say, see your ones in the area, and those should populate. If not, you want to contact your local SBA office to get the list of the microlenders in the area. The other thing that I'll mention is that they also usually work with lower credit scores. A lot of times, you know, people want to start, you know, a business, and their credit score might not be what the bank's looking for, and so they're hard getting funding. So this is an avenue. You might pay a little higher on the interest rate, but it might get you a starting point to where you start building relationships. And I call our microlenders like stepping blocks. You know, you're building off this first step with your business, and then you're going to continue to develop your relationship with your bank that you have your business account, checking account, you know, with. And as you build that relationship and you keep on with your microlender, eventually, you know, they want you to, you know, branch off and get your next means of financing through your bank or your financial institution if need be.
Well, let me ask you something. Just a fun example. In Houston, Texas, they're building this big hospital. And I think it's in Fifth Ward. They're building this big, huge hospital, George Bush Hospital. And my partner there, who is a veteran, and if we wanted to put like a FedEx store inside of that, or a mail drop store inside of that hospital, which type of loan would we qualify for if we wanted to do an enterprise, or if we wanted to do maybe a FedEx store as well as a, I say, I don't want to say called no chicken place name, but a food type restaurant in there. But if we want to franchise that.
Okay.
Which type of loan? It's according to how much. If we had a business plan for instance, if we wanted to put a UPS store inside of the hospital, which would also be mail drop. So when you franchise with UPS, can you also mail drop? I mean, franchise with the United States Post Office as well.
Well, I'm not familiar with the United States Post Office and how that works in conjunction with, you know, with a franchise like a UPS or you know, in addition as a drop-off center. That would probably be maybe some research or get our resource partner, the Small Business Development Centers. They would probably be able to know how to get that information and how that works in relationship with the United States Postal Service. Now, UPS, that is, you know, obviously those mailbox and drop-off services and mailing services, you can franchise those out. And the type of loan that would probably fit best under is going to be probably the 7A. And the reason I say that, it's going to give you the most versatility, and it gives you that bigger loan amount. And plus, you're most likely leasing space versus purchasing. So when you lease space, you know, you're gonna need working capital, kind of get up and get started, versus a situation. Now, if you're gonna purchase land, you're gonna purchase a building or develop accordingly. You know, a 504 loan is definitely could be reviewed. You know, it depends on, you know, what kind of monetary you're looking at. I mean, that's one benefit, getting connected with your resource partners such as SCORE, the Small Business Development Center, our Women's Business Center. We even have Veteran Business Outreach Center at our location. Now, the Veteran Business Outreach Center and the Women's Centers are not always prevalent in areas, but usually you can get connected with SCORE or the Small Business Development Centers and for free counseling. A lot of them do virtual and if you can't meet in person. But those are going to be ones you're going to be able to tap into, to talk to them, to get your business plan, anything, regulations, licensing you might need. There are a wealth of information, because most likely you're probably not the first business that they've talked to in what you're doing. So they probably have a lot of experience, or they have enough contacts to know to where to get that information in order to get you what we call lender ready.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of listeners listening. I mean, that's online listening to you. So I want to let them know that if they have any questions that they may want to ask you, all they have to do is press the number 1, and we will see their hands go up, and I can bring them into the studio to ask you the questions. So if you have any questions you may want to ask her, and if you listen online, you can always call in at 563-999-3739. And when you call in that number, just press the number 1 if you have a question. Now, Bridget, these loans, what is the payback? I mean, what is, for instance, if a person wanted to just get a 7(a) loan, how soon do you need to start paying that money back?
Well, so usually, okay, so they're repaid with, you know, obviously monthly payments is usually how the setup is. It can be based upon, I mean, they're not deferred like disaster loans. I mean, a lot of us were used to, when COVID came back, we had the COVID idle, and we had 12 months, then 24 months of deferment before payments were made. These are a little different. They're going to get set up, and once, you know, things are dispersed out, usually the month or two, you're making your first payment. Now, you know, there might be, if you're a seasonal business, there might be some talk about, you know, exactly, you know, when your business is going to open up. So there's a lot of things that can go into that that you will have discussion with your banker and how that works. So, you know, I think that if they work with the bank, let them know what they're trying to achieve. I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of times people don't convey as much, and that's why that business plan is there. But you got to know the business plan. That's why I tell people, look, don't pay thousands of dollars to have someone do your business plan, because you're not going to know it through and through, and you need to know it because you have 90 seconds to sell it to an investor, to a banker, or whoever's helping you finance, and you have free resource partners through SBA that can help you do that. And that's the importance of it. And then also to get the funding, to know which funding program is going to be your best opportunity for you.
So you have three sources there at SBA to help people write up their business plan?
Well, actually, there's four main ones. There's four main ones. There's Women's Business Centers. In Dallas, we have one. And for our 72 counties, we have one office. But they'll also meet virtually as well. But they have an office where women can come in and actually get counseling. They even have little setup areas where they can, you know, work as, you know, getting their business, you know, started, you know, that whole counseling sit down and basically walk them through it. So that's one. And then you've got SCORE, which is free as well. They have volunteers of people that are experts. They're business owners, or they might be retired business owners, lawyers, accountants, you know, specialty. And they're going to match you up based on what you put in your application for request of the mentor online. So when you put that request in, they're going to try to match you up with, okay, let's say you want to go in film industry. Okay, well, you know, Dallas has got some film industry, but they might not have a mentor that might specialize in that, but they might have a mentor in California. And I think, you know, with COVID, that this really enhanced people doing a lot of things more virtually and, you know, meeting-wise and things like that. So they're going to try to get you, you know, set up with somebody that what you're trying to achieve with your plan. Or it might not be a business plan. You might need help with social media, and or you might need help with regulations or licensing, or maybe you've got a legal question. That's all viable as far as in the mentorship. You know, just make sure you request it. And if that mentor can't help you, but they know, hey, I've got another mentor that is that expert, let me get you connected there. So you could have more than one mentor, depending on based on what you need. And then we've got our small business development centers. And those you're going to see more of office locations, like in junior colleges or state, you know, funded places where they might be set up at, like Dallas, Fort Worth. We've got main ones in Dallas, Fort Worth, but we got satellite offices throughout the Metroplex. And so, again, free counseling. A lot of them will have webinars, too. Sometimes there might be a minimal cost of webinars, and that's just because if they're doing it in person, they might have to, if they're paying for lunch or a speaker or, you know, space or something like that. But they don't, it's not usually very much. And then our last resource partner is our Veteran Business Outreach Center. We are lucky enough to have one in our area that's at UTA at the College of Business. And they help SBA facilitate a Boots to Business program when veteran or military personnel are transitioning out of the military and are interested in entrepreneurship. So it's usually a two-day program on base. And then we also engage it off base for those that spouses are included, the veterans or active military, if they want to come to it as well. And it's called Reboot. And actually, October 30th, I'll be doing a reboot in our office in our training. And for those that are interested in it, you know, they can sign up because that's a great, and we do it in one day. So it is action-packed, full of information. Instead of 2 days, we do it in one day to kick off our National Veteran Small Business Week that starts October 30th and through that week. Have all kinds of classes and stuff going on.
And that's going to be a reboot class, reboot at on
yes,
October
30th. Same, right. And it's the same criteria, same instruction as if it was on base, but it's just an opportunity for those that can't get on base or that retired or maybe a spouse that decides they want to start a business. They're all eligible to come to this.
Okay, now let me ask you something. You said spouses are eligible to get the veterans' benefits. How about veterans' children? If veterans have maybe children that want to go into business, is there any incentives, I mean, anything for a child who has a parent that's a veteran?
To my understanding, the answer is no on that.
Okay.
Okay, now that might be something with GSA or maybe something, but as far as I'm aware, not as far as in the loan programs. It's strictly spouse and the active military or veteran.
So,
you know, like maybe, like when you join like Navy Federal Credit Union, it can trickle down from generation, generation, generation as long as. But that's not how these loans are set up through the federal government, you know. Cause so and it's a good question because a lot of people, you know, say, well, okay, well, this bank allows me to be a member because my great grandfather was in the military, and I'm still, you know, I'm part of it. But that's not the way this is, from my understanding, works.
Mhm. Okay. That's what I needed to know too, as well. And your Veterans Outreach Center, where is it located? You said did y'all have a 2-day program?
Yeah, so the UTA, University of Texas of Arlington in Arlington at the College of Business is where our office, Veteran Business Outreach Center, that does counseling of veterans as well as getting them connected to other veterans that might be in similar business. And they also have a conference coming up in the beginning of the week of October as well. And it's action-packed of all kinds of stuff, too. So it's just all kinds of things going on, especially right before, you know, Veterans Day in November. But they can get connected. Go ahead.
Well, this UTA, College of Business, is that the same thing as the APEC Acceleration with Gregory James?
No.
The difference?
No. Yeah, two separate entities, two separate reaches, so to speak. Now, going through the VBOC, as we call it, the VBOC does have a Govology training program to do business with the federal government. And it's free once you register as a veteran or a spouse with the VBOC. It's just an extra part of training for those that, you know, come in into their center and get the counseling. So you can actually, they can actually find this, their Veteran Business Outreach Center near them by going through that local assistance, or if they're in our Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can just even just Google Veteran Business Outreach Center at University of Arlington, and it'll populate us just as easy.
Okay.
Let me see.
Well,
And they have webinars, too, and all kinds of educational programs. Go ahead.
Well, on September the 21st, we have Gregory James. He's going to be here also from UTA Cross Timbers. And it was, what is it called now? The Apex Accelerator, or what did you call that?
Yes.
It's a new name.
It's called now, they changed it to Accelerator because the Department of Defense took over the agency for the funding, and it used to be called Procurement Technical Assistance Center, and so PTAC was the nickname, the acronym for it back then, but now it's the APEX Accelerator, and Gregory James is the director. He's been the director there for quite a bit of time, and excellent wealth of information for those that want to jump in into federal contracting. You'll get a wealth of information from him as well.
Well, one of the things I want to tell people, we got maybe like 15 minutes to go before this, before our hour's up. I do want to tell everybody that next week we have Mr. Albert Garza with the GSA, and Albert is going to bring a lot of regional and small business specialists. He is a regional small business specialist, but he's going to bring a lot of regional and information about their regional office as well as a national office of who's buying this time of year, and how these contracts are, one can get a contract with GSA, and how they will help you actually become a GSA vendor. And under GSA, these schedules last like a 5-year. They're 5-year BPAs, where sometimes when you wake up, you may have 5 orders on your computer, or you will have orders every month coming in from GSA, which you can make money. It's a monthly income. So that's going to be a very good podcast. September the 14th, GSA. Now September the 21st, we have Gregory James coming in from UT Arlington. The APEX Center, the Department of Defense. Department of Defense got a lot of contracts, got a lot of facilities that is asking for capability studies. Can you do their work? How do they know that you what they want? How do they know you can supply? So Gregory James is one that's going to teach us, because I'm still learning how to do that, to actually compose a complete capability study. And
right.
After him, we got Nancy Alvarez. And Nancy is the supervisor for the regional office and 8A. And how long do 8A set aside last?
9 years.
9 years.
Now,
and
during the program for 9 years.
Now, can you get one, an 8A program if you're 74 years old?
No age discrimination.
You know, I may try to do that 8A and just leave it to them. Well, whatever, because I need that. Because I have been into even open market solicitations, and they ask if you're 8A and things like that, because they want to make sure that you keep their contract. If they give it to you, they want you to be able to keep it. The source of it is that I have to have a very good supply, a letter of supply. If you have a, it's according to you sell products. I sell products. I do not sell service. My friend girl, she just got her license to be a hacker. What you call this thing? I mean, she's one of these. Oh my God! Where she go into the computers and she finds viruses and things. So she does service. Her expertise is service. Mine is product, because I have suppliers or manufacturers that has worked with me for 30 years. And these manufacturers are big manufacturers. And they have to give me a letter of supply. In other words, if I get a big contract with a correctional institution to maybe make their men's shorts, I just say men's shorts, or the men's garment bags. Okay, so if I get that contract for 5 years, I have to have a letter of supply from my manufacturers to make sure that they're in on it. Also, they will be willing to actually be there for me to make this particular product. So they don't mind you having, the government don't mind you having big companies to work with you, but you have to be able to get a letter of supply from that company as well. A guarantee that you have somebody that's going to be able to make that, I mean, to build it for you. So it's all good.
And
I'm thinking about it. I'm just praying about it, Bridget, because I am too old to be trying to start all this work. I mean, start this workload and don't have nobody here. But that's a totally different ballgame. So I have to get oh, my goodness, I wish I had some people that would want to work. But and it's hard. So hard trying to do a lot of this, especially by yourself. But I want to tell you something, Bridget. I really applaud you all for hanging here with me. This is our second podcast for this year. And what do you think? Do you think the podcast, helps better than in-person?
There's a couple things. You know, I think you get a broader reach, or definitely as a podcast. But you know, I did that in-person one with you, too, and you had a great attendance there, too. So I think you could you always do some in-person type outreach that obviously can hit niches, for in certain areas that might need, you know, additional in-person. A lot of times people need to talk to people in person, get information. But I love the podcast because I think you're reaching an audience that doesn't necessarily maybe get reached out to because they aren't in a close vicinity. You know, you could be reaching in other states or the edge of the Metroplex that doesn't, you know, maybe get the information readily available to them. So,
we're going to keep trying to get our information out to different churches that we own every Thursday. I have to get the word out that we're on. We're having this done, and I really appreciate you. I appreciate our lawyers who do our pro bono legal services. They like going out in the community. They really like being there too, because people like for them to be there because normally when we finish our legal clinics, we have a line of people wanting to talk to the judge and the attorney that's there. So I want to tell people, and I want to do a shout-out to my church, Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church. They are there for my legal clinics. They always got room for me to do workshops, any type job fairs. And I just appreciate them being sometimes my sponsor. And I want to tell anybody else who want to be a sponsor or to help us with this to go to our website, Verna's Health Foundation, and donate. Because we need donations. We need donations. And I want to make sure I put that in there because a lot of people think that we are, people think that I've done work with the GSA. That's why I told my nephew, take that. He put that we had made over $43 million on my website. And when I went in there and saw that, I said, that's the reason why nobody's helping me, because you need to take that off of my website. He said, well, don't. I said, you do not know. I had to pay my factories a lot of that money. I didn't make that kind of money. People think when you have a $1 million contract, some people do, that you're actually going to be a millionaire. You got $1 million. They don't realize that if you're selling product, you got to make sure that factory is paid before you get paid.
Yeah, so your cost of goods sold.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, people don't understand that all the time. And so I had to actually, you know, he said, well, hey, Vern, I said, no, you did not think that. You know, so I had to make him take that off my website because people thought that I was a millionaire, and I'm not no millionaire. I don't have no money. People need to stop thinking that. Because we do not. We need all the money we can get. So, but nevertheless, I do say this, that it was worth everybody's energy to look into. If you have a child who is that you want to help grow with government contracting, talk with your children, because working with them, opening up for business, and or either getting a supplier to supply the government and look at what they buy. Bridget, how can we find out exactly if a person wanted to find out what they can actually sell to the government? How do they go out and find out what is the government purchasing now? Do they have a deal?
Yeah, so that is actually is funny you mentioned that because we encourage for those that want to get started in federal contracting, definitely reach out to our resource partners, our office, to make sure what you want to do is viable. Because the last thing you want to do is put a lot of time and energy and expect the world that great contracts and things like that. So we want to make sure that you are realistic about the opportunity out there in the federal contracting. And obviously, you know, there's the some main ones that are out there, construction, janitorial, landscaping, you know, a lot of those are out there. But that doesn't mean that others aren't viable either. So, that's where you can go to I'm looking at it right now. Under the SBA website, under federal contracting, there's a contracting guide, okay? It talks about the benefits, how it works, the set-asides that we mentioned earlier, how the SBA's role in there, and how to get started. So, you know, assessing your business, the basic requirements are in there. How to win contracts. You know, what does that look like? Just basically answering your, how do I look at contracts out there? Learn about the types of contracts, the size standards, governing rules and responsibilities. I mean, there comes a responsibility when you're in government contracting. And then what everybody strives for is the prime, you know, get involved with prime and subcontracting. So, you know, that's all in here. And then, of course, there's main office and contract business development, but we encourage you to, if you're near an SBA office and or resource partners, is definitely reach out, get the one-on-one assistance that you're going to need or have questions, or if you have like the Apex Accelerator that we mentioned earlier with Gregory, who deals in and out with this of getting your, if you qualify for the set-asides, you know, for the different types of contracting out there, or just getting started locally or state to build up your capability statement as well. So just, you know, and that's what people need to learn is that when they're doing their business plan, when they start, say, okay, where am I taking my business, you know, first year, second, third, fourth, and fifth? And if they're involving federal contracting, it doesn't hurt to go ahead and start looking what that involves so you can make sure what you're doing now is going towards that goal for, you know, your second or third year going into federal contracting. Don't wait to say, oh, I'm going to go into federal contracting. I mean, it's okay if you think about it as an afterthought, but if you already know what you want to do in that, you want to go ahead and get connected so you can strive into that direction of where you want to be in federal contracting.
And also, SBA helps with state contracting as well. I mean, SBA not only helps federal, but don't you all help with the state as well?
No, not so much our office, but our resource partners will. So such as Gregory's office, the Apex Accelerator, our Small Business Development Center, SCORE, you know, Women's Business Center, they can all counsel on the state. SBA doesn't get involved in the state or local contracting.
I see. Okay, but how about the lending?
Oh,
do
lending.
They lend for
yes.
lending.
Yeah, so
okay,
if, yeah,
know,
so if
know,
you're, right.
I know I had a relative who, I was in Austin at a mock conference down there with the African Chamber. And I never will forget, they had a 5-mile radius that they needed to be cleaned and actually with a lawnmower. And when I told my brother about this riding lawnmower that he had to be used, why can't you just take that 5-mile contract? So at first he wasn't interested, but then again, when he looked into it, he ended up with not only, I think, that contract, but he ended up with another contract here close to I-35 from Moxahatchee all the way up to just cutting the sides of the freeway. Just cutting that. And he ended up getting this big lawnmower with a, actually like a little car. It had air conditioning and everything. And he made a lot of, I'm not going to even talk about the money that he made just cutting those highways, the grass on the side of the highway. So that's a state contract with tax. I think it's tax stock. Who has that contract, Bridget?
It'd be state.
I know it's state, but I don't know if it's tax stocks or who did that, but I forgot. But you can get, they can get contracts even if they want to clean up.
As far as in the state side of things, like some of your bigger cities like Dallas, your airport, DFW Airport, TxDOT, all those are big that do contracting. They look for contract opportunities out there. They sometimes host their own events to bring in businesses.
Mm-hmm.
To bid on their contracts. So that's how big they are. I mean, I remember going in, Allison, I'm telling you, that thing was probably an inch and a half thick of just contractors that are already doing business with the city of Dallas. It was just a big stack. But I wanted to kind of just go a little more further on what I was telling you about with, you know, finding, you know, the business. We do have what we call dynamic small business search. And they can also find this on our website as well. But it's basically a database that all government agencies use to find contractors and for upcoming contracts. So they'll go in there and you register in this through the SAM, which is the System for Award Management. And so when they go into SAM.gov, they have to register their business in there because SBA maintains that database for the Dynamic Small Business Search by based upon what they're inputting in through SAM. It's used to populate that. So the profile they need to make sure is accurate and, of course, comprehensive. So that way when their searches are being done, they can look. Now, also, small businesses sometimes will use that database, too, to find other small businesses to work with. So it's not
And it's called, what is it called again? Government. Dynamic what? What did you call it, Bridget?
Small
again?
Business Search. Dynamic Small Business Search. And sometimes it's abbreviated DSBS. Dynamic Small Business Search.
Okay, in case I need to do that myself. Okay.
Right.
More need to get the registers there as well. Okay, there's so much opportunity out here, and I just want to thank you, Bridget. I know we don't have too much time left, but I just want to thank you for coming on and being my partner on tonight.
Well,
and thank
you
all
for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, I thought I'd call you little blonde-headed, but then again, I'm not going to say that. Bridget, you and we mentioned Mrs. That y'all have really helped me. Nancy Alvarez has really helped me. And I don't mind doing in-person workshops, but the last workshop, I think I lost a lot of money because I ended up buying too much lunch. I prepared lunch for, I guess, 100-some people, and I ended up having to eat, 35 of those box lunches. We didn't have people registered, but they didn't show up. So I don't waste money when I do my podcast like that. But that's okay.
Right.
But that's okay. We're going to have I have a church in now, and they told me what in it. Anything that I wanted to, let's let them know in plenty of time. They're willing to help me, and I can come there for free. I don't have to, any day. So I just want to thank again my sponsors, my people that's been helping me. And let's thank God for me having the strength to do this on Thursday. This is not an easy job. This is when you have to create a story every Thursday and make a podcast, a successful podcast. It's not a very easy job, but I will just thank everybody for being my listeners. And we have a growing, I mean, I think we had over 3,000. I've looked in that for just last week that was listening online. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but what I'm saying, it should be probably more because it's global. But because we're in the central time, we have to tell people when to tune in to if they're listening in other cities. But Bridget, I want to thank you. Do you have any closing comments before we close tonight?
Well, I appreciate being on here because I'm also a small business owner as well. And, I learn along the way too. I've been actually a small business owner since the age of 18. I've been there, done that, learned a lot of lessons along the way. And the biggest thing I can't stress enough, if I knew I had all these resource partners when I was younger, who knows where I would be. Utilize them. They're free. They're going to steer you, correctly. They're going to get you the information you need to be successful. And that's just, it's a win-win for you. I can't stress enough to make sure you reach out to them. Look on our website, sba.gov. Look for the local assistance menu at the top. Pull it in. Put your zip code in. Find those resource partners that are the closest to you or what you're looking for. And any questions, you can always reach out to your SBA district office.
Okay.
And we thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank you for being my guest tonight. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We've got, 3 seconds before we go off of here. And I just look forward for us again on next Thursday. Next Thursday, we will be bringing in Mr. Albert Garza from GSA. That would be, that's going to be a fantastic podcast too. He would talk about the Department of Defense, which is DOD, FHA, as well as many other government agencies. So we look forward to that podcast as well. Thank you all, and please have a safe and keep cool week. I mean, weekend,
right?
And it's hot out here. We're in Texas, so if you listen to me in California, Texas is hot, hot, hot. I mean, even in September. So thank you, everybody, again for listening and being our guest tonight. And we look forward to you tuning in again on next weekend.
All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good night, you all. Good night, everybody.
Keep on trying.